as we take a look at the weekend slate for week 11 of the NFL. Started off last night with Seattle with the 3-point win over Green Bay. We've got some huge contests this weekend. It's in some situations, you better win if you still have playoff hopes. Key game in the AFC South. And right now, going to the hotline, our special guest, Taylor Tannenbaum, sports anchor and reporter from Indianapolis with WTHR, the NBC affiliate there, Taylor. And also, I should say, a Florida State grad. So,
yes.
By the way, this is probably the first time. I mean, I'm proud to be an alum of Florida State, but just I don't mind the losses, but the way Florida State has lost this year has been very disappointing. And that's putting it very mildly.
Yeah, I hate to admit it, but I've almost stopped tuning in on Saturdays, not because I don't support our alma maters, but just because the effort isn't even there. So it's even more disappointing, you know?
Well, and I took exception with the backup quarterback who looked like he was going to start possibly against Notre Dame, James Blackman, talking about, well, it doesn't matter. We're both great leaders and we both play great. And I'm thinking, you're 4-5. Where do you get off thinking you play great and you're a great leader and your team is 4-5? Just stop. Stop with the nonsense.
I agree. Great is not the word I would be using. You know what? I'll give them this season. I'll let it. You know, the Taggart era started off a little rocky. I'll give them 1 year to adjust. And if it stays the same way, then I think, Houston, we have a problem.
I will just say you're more patient than I am because, you know, I've already, you know, said this guy is not the right fit. Wrong coach, wrong time for this. And the fact, I don't know about you, I don't care what uniform combination you – if you're playing like you've been playing all year, then have a basic white with a garnet helmet. I don't care. I don't care if – well, this week we're going to go with the garnet-garnet combination. It's like you're wasting so much time on things like that. How about more focus on fundamentals?
Yeah, the frou-frou instead of the X's and O's. I agree. Got to earn those cool uniforms, in my opinion.
All right, look at this matchup with the Titans and Colts. And depending on what fan you are of which team, there's two ways of looking at this. If you're a Titans fan, you're saying, hey, we're 2-0 over the last two contests against Indianapolis, sweeping the series last year. If you're an Indianapolis fan, you're going, we won 16-17. Andrew Luck wasn't on the field in these two games last year. And when he is, he's 9-0 against the Titans. I just felt all along this has the feeling of a series this year that is going to be a split where the home team, in this case Indianapolis, will win this weekend and then the Titans will repay the favor coming up on December 30th.
Yeah, and both of these teams have a lot to play for at this point. You know, back when they played last year, of course, like you mentioned, they didn't have Luck. And the Colts were really, you know, out of this thing pretty early. Now they're starting to see the big picture here. They're starting to see that, hey, we can – compete in the AFC South this year, maybe a lot sooner than they realize. And there's a lot on the line this time around. So I think it'll be hopping on Sunday just because of what's at stake. And also they're honoring Reggie Wayne, inducting him to the Ring of Honor. So it's going to be quite the environment, and they know what's at stake. And I think the same for Tennessee. And I know they're coming off that big Patriots win, so I think we're in for a treat on Sunday, honestly.
If you're Tennessee, you go back on October 7th and losing a game 13-12 to Buffalo that still eats at you. I'm wondering if, from an Indianapolis standpoint, the bad decisions there in overtime, which led to Houston being able to win a game that, worst-case scenario, should have been a tie for the Colts.
Yeah.
Instead, Houston wins with the field goal. And because after this weekend, we could be looking at a situation where, you know, the Colts, Tennessee, and Houston, only a game separating all three.
Yeah, and I think as bad as that might stink, if it comes down to that being the tiebreaker and the Texans hold it over the Colts because they went for it on that fourth down and didn't get it, I think the bigger picture of what that fourth down was about is what really matters. It in a weird way, galvanized this team. It showed this young team that was a little bit shaky, still coming together under Frank Reich, that, hey, our coach believes in us, and he has our back. So while maybe that could end up biting them in the near future when it comes to playoffs this year, I think in the long run, it really galvanized this team. After that loss, that tough loss, you went into the locker room and everyone stood behind coach, and they didn't want to play for a tie. They wanted to win or they wanted to lose. That's how it was going to go. So I think the general consensus was, hey, if this comes back to bite us in the butt, it's okay. But our coach is here, and we're here to play, and he believes in us, and we believe in ourselves. And I think that was really important for this team long term.
Taylor Tannenbaum joining us again from Indianapolis. You know, going into the season, we felt like the Colts, as far as the offensive line, not going to be able to provide any type of protection for Andrew Luck. That has not turned out to be the case at all. In fact, I was just saying, you know, here's the Colts, number one in the NFL, keeping drives alive as far as third down percentage, successful with 52% of the time when they're out there. But more importantly, in pass attempts, number one as far as allowing sacks. And certainly one of the combinations and why we're talking about a three-game winning streak by the Colts going into this matchup on Sunday.
It's really a cool story because this offensive line, you know, there was so much talk surrounding them heading into the season because there was just so much uncertainty. Anthony Costanzo, which is really the heart and soul of that offensive line, was hurt for so long. You have two rookies on the line who, granted, were top picks. They were first, second, third, you know, early picks in this draft. One is their first round pick, but you don't expect them to blossom the way that they have so far. And finally, they found some consistency, and they've turned into the most consistent, truly the most consistent unit on this team. And it's four games without a sack now. I believe it's 185 dropbacks for Andrew Luck. And this is a guy whose health was an issue over the last few years, and the priority is protecting him. And this is the vision this Colts team and Chris Ballard and Jim Irsay had, is protect their franchise quarterback. And that's exactly what's happening now. So they're starting to see it pan out. And it's the reason for their success. They're able to run the ball now. You've seen Marlon Mack, since his return, be able to run, and that's opened up the passing game. And it's all thanks to those big guys up front who really never get enough credit. But here we are. One of the biggest storylines of the week is the offensive line, which rarely happens. So it's pretty cool. It's a pretty cool thing for them.
You know, in past games, you know, certainly like a tight end and Jack Doyle, he's had success against the Titans. And in some cases, some of the other tight ends over time have had their moments as well. This is a different Tennessee Titans secondary. You know, when you talk about over the last couple of years, the addition of Malcolm Butler, Logan Ryan, mm-hmm. you know, you've got Adoree Jackson being drafted 2 years. You got Kevin Byard, an all-pro safety from last year, an addition of Akinyi Vaccaro as well. You know, it's going to be a little bit tougher go around for the Colts having success as far as through the airwaves, and the fact that, and you know, unlike what he may have seen so far this year, it's a lot easier to get some type of pass rush on a quarterback if your receivers are covered. So that's one of the things to be watching out for early on in this game on Sunday.
Yeah, I agree. And the thing that the Colts have really done this year, which is a little bit different, is a lot of dinking and dunking. Andrew isn't taking those big shots down the field as much, and they've been able to get away with that, and it's worked. And I think the beauty of Eric Ebron breaking out too, and these tight ends breaking out, is really a lot of the focus is on T.Y. Hilton. You know, he's their number one guy, and it's forcing people now, and I think as we move forward, because we really, really saw it this past weekend against the Jags, that these tight ends are a serious threat, especially with Andrew. So T.Y. may not be hogging all of that now. He may be able to get open a little bit more because the focus is really on him. People are going to have to start respecting the tight ends on this team, and they do have a big challenge this week. Granted, the Jags were probably their toughest test defensively so far, and even Andrew mentioned, you know, he name dropped, you know, Arakpo and Jarrell Casey this week, knowing that he's staring into something that he hasn't really seen all season, and it's going to be up to this offensive line to really stand up and see if they can continue this streak. And if they can get that run game going, it can be okay. But this is the toughest test by far they're going to have to face. And we'll see if maybe T.Y. Hilton can break free a little bit this game. He's been somewhat quiet just because we've seen all the tight ends eating up the touchdowns this season. But Sunday could be a little bit different.
Taylor, are the fans buying in, or are they playing the wait-and-see game?
I think it's a little bit of both. The fans seem pretty optimistic, if you ask me, and I think that's a product of winning three straight. Now, if they lose on Sunday, you may see that mood quickly change because then you know your hope is a little bit lost. Right now, they're still holding on to some hope, which is a good thing. They should be supporting this team. They're growing. And hey, look, if they win on Sunday, they're at 500. They have totaled the win total from last year, and they're not even done with the season. And a lot of people didn't expect them to be here when they started the season 1-5. It was, you know, awful. So I think the fans are starting to buy in. I would say wait till Sunday. I'm I think cautiously optimistic might be the right words for that.
I mean, depending on how things play out on Sunday, if Jacksonville loses at home against Pittsburgh, I mean, a team that we thought that was going to compete for the AFC South, they're one nail away from being done on the year, because if they lose on Sunday to Pittsburgh, which I think they will, they're going to be 3-7 through the first 10 games.
Yeah, and while it seems like the Texans kind of have that stranglehold right now because they can't seem to lose, it's really such a tight race, and there are so many critical games still left ahead. These teams all play each other again. So really the next few weeks is when this starts to get crazy, and the Jags, I mean, if you ask me, the game against the Colts was the backbreaker for them. There's to climb back into this thing, you're going to need a lot of help. And at least this weekend, whoever wins this game between the Titans and Colts kind of has a strong grip on what they want to do. They don't have to necessarily rely so much on everybody else to do a job for them. They can control their playoff fate a little bit more than the other would obviously like.
How about this then? What do we say that on that final weekend of December, the last game of the year, Tennessee versus Indianapolis, on the line will be a trip to the playoffs for the winner?
I could see that. I really could see that. Just at the way the schedule shapes out and the way they stand right now, it is so close, but because everyone's going to start knocking each other off and I could see that being a scenario, a very, very strong scenario, which I think Colts fans should be very happy about, because I don't know that anyone went into the season really thinking that that was going to be a true possibility.
Taylor, before we let you go, let the listeners know again how they can keep up with all your coverage of the Colts, the NFL, and beyond.
All right, well, we'll be there Sunday and beyond. WTHR is where I work up here in Indianapolis. You can catch me on Twitter at Taylor Tannenbaum. I'm on Instagram at Taylor Tannenbaum, on Facebook, Taylor Tannenbaum WTHR. So I'm all over, and hit me up. We'll talk.